Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show.
Congratulations on this incredible award. I've got to ask, what inspired you to sail solo around Antarctica?
How much time you've got. The short end of the story is basically I started sailing when I was 20, so I only came to sailing quite late. I've been sailing now for 10 years, and I discovered this amateur round-the-world yacht race that you could do, and you have to pay a berth fee, and you go and race around the world. And I was like, oh, this looks like an amazing opportunity. So I ended up sponsorship seeking and fundraising and managed to get the berth fee together and then raced around the world. And at the end of that, I was like, wow, what else am I capable of? What else can I achieve now? And it's just sort of led from there.
Oh, my God. And it's led to quite an incredible journey around Antarctica in 184 days. There's some pretty tough conditions, I'm sure. What were the greatest challenges you faced on your journey?
Well, it was freezing cold. So basically, I was inside the boat for about 23 hours a day. So just that isolation and boredom of only having, like, four tiny little walls and about 5 to 6 square meters of space to live in for so long. The storms were always difficult because you never quite knew how bad they were going to get and would you survive the night and how bad was it going to get? Was it going to hurt your boat? So you always sort of had those questions running through your head. So they were just stressful. I did actually suffer a demasting, which is when my mast actually snapped off in storm conditions one evening, which put me in a pretty big survival situation, and I had to fight to save the boat that night. And then I limped into South Africa, where I was able to get a new mast on the boat and then restart the record. So those sort of challenges, there was definitely plenty of them.
Gosh, what do you do in that situation where you're in the middle of the ocean completely alone, your boat has lost its mast, and you said you had to fight to just to keep the boat? This is incredible.
Yeah, so I had sort of 7 to 8 meter swell at the time and 40 knots of wind, which is roughly equivalent to about 60 kilometer hour winds, 70 kilometer hour winds. And the only thing you can do is cut the mast free from the boat so that it doesn't puncture a hole through the hull of the boat. Because what happens is as the waves suck and push, they're actually sucking and pushing that mast next to the boat in the water, and it drives it up over the deck, but it only takes one wave to pull it off a tiny bit further for it to actually get driven through the hull of the boat and sink the boat. And for me at the time, I was 1,000 nautical miles directly south of South Africa, and the nearest ship to me was 600 nautical miles away. So even if rescue was a possibility, it would have been at least 3 days that I would have had to survive until help would have arrived. So
that must have been
a save yourself situation.
Oh my God, that must have been absolutely terrifying. It would have been a really scary experience.
Yeah. I mean, the waves are breaking over the boat, and there was obviously extensive damage done to the deck and everything. So, and it was the middle of the night, of course, because emergencies never happen in the daylight. it's like crawling around on the deck of the boat for 4 hours in the freezing conditions, trying to get it free. I was just extremely fortunate I didn't suffer any major damage to myself either, and that I was able to save the boat that night. I did suffer hypothermia after that because I'd been so exposed to the conditions for so long, and I'd been basically getting submerged by the waves as they break over the boat. And then I had to go and self-treat for that before carrying on and trying to get the boat to South Africa.
Oh, my gosh. This is against all odds, in my opinion. You had a lot working against you. So to actually complete the journey is phenomenal. What did you see along the way in your journey? How was Antarctica? This is a place that not many people have been able to experience, that not all that many people have been able to see. What was it like sailing around Antarctica?
Well, I was actually too far out to sea because Antarctica has a lot of ice and I have a fiberglass boat, and the two don't mix very well.
No, we've learned that from the Titanic. Do not mix.
Yes. So I sat, my record was between 45 degrees south and 60 south, and you sort of start encountering the pack ice at about 70 degrees south in the Southern Ocean. So I was well above that, but there were icebergs and things like that around. I was fortunate not to see them, although a lot of people would think it the other way around. If I don't see them, then I've got a much more minimal risk of hitting a block of ice and ripping a hole in my boat. So I was quite happy not to see them on that specific journey. As far as wildlife, though, I had quite a bit. There's always the most incredible bird life in the Southern Ocean. And it doesn't matter what the conditions are doing. You will have 40 to 50 birds all around the boat, just as far as the eye can see, as birds. Wow. And they live their entire life on the wing, on the water. And so we had like the massive albatross with the 3-meter wingspans and all the way down to the teeny tiny little storm petrels, which are like the size of a small dove, I guess. And they're the beautiful, like, they're just gorgeous, the patterns on their wings and everything. And they literally follow the storms around. So you know when a storm's coming and when the storm petrels arrive.
they're the birds you don't want to see.
Well, there was plenty of storms. So and then a few whales, lots of dolphins. I went past a sunfish at one point.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I also, it's different when you're solo because you're not standing watch on deck all the time. You rely on the electronic instruments to keep you safe and give you a safe watch. And obviously down there, there's really no one else silly enough to be down there at that time of year. So there was very little risk of collision. So, so when you're crewed, you have someone helming the boat or driving the boat. So you tend to see a lot more wildlife. And I have no doubt that there was hundreds and hundreds of more animals that I didn't see. But those are the ones that I did get to see.
Fantastic.
And a few penguins.
Oh, wow. Well, that was the one that I would want to have seen the most. Now, you named your boat Climate Action Now. What was behind that decision?
Yeah, so when I did that first round, the world journey and the Clipper race, I noticed just how much plastic and debris and crap there is in the ocean. Like, we would sail through thick, thick areas where we're having to push the junk out of the front of the boat, like out of the way so it's not hitting the boat.
Wow.
And it's just heartbreaking. And also, like, we were sailing in the Southern Ocean and there were styrofoam boxes just floating around down there. And that's, like, where there's absolutely been no human impact and it's getting all the way down there. So I just decided that if I could do something good with this project, then I would. And I founded the Climate Action Now campaign, which was focused about showing people that as an individual you can create change and you can make a difference by changing something small in your life for a better future. So I actually reached out to the community at large around the world and I asked for them to submit to me their post-it note messages. And each message is an action that somebody's already doing. So, like, Sally has short showers, Joe doesn't use single-use water bottles, Jane only drives the car 3 days a week and uses public transport 2 days a week. So it's whatever these people are doing that are small changes in their life for a better future. And then I digitally transferred those into like a giant sticker, basically. It's like a wrap. And the whole hull of my boat is now coated hundreds of these post-it note messages. So that's the idea of the campaign. And from there, I very proudly sailed those messages around Antarctica and was really great to see, like, the school groups get involved and the kids come down and get excited and then they would write their own post-it note message on what they're going to do. And so it's just about showing people that those small things that a lot of people don't do because they think it's too small to make a difference do help when you have millions of people making that change. To turn the tap off when you brush your teeth, don't let the water run, or, you know, whatever it is that people do. So, it's been a powerful campaign and it's been very well received by the community, which is excellent to see.
What a fantastic way to turn this amazing adventure into something so powerful as well and so lasting and something that people can really get on board with. Lisa, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for joining us this morning. Congratulations on the award. Congratulations on the huge achievement of sailing around Antarctica. And again, thank you so much for joining us.